First on the important questions, Prathama Panha Sutta. Time, the Blessed One was abiding in the monastery offered by Anathapindika in Savatthi. Many bhikkhus, putting on robes in the morning and taking bowls and robes, entered Savatthi for alms. Then it occurred to those bhikkhus, it is too early yet to go for alms in Savatthi. What if we approach the monastery of the wandering ascetics of the other sects? Then those bhikkhus approached the wandering ascetics of other sects in their monastery, exchanging with them and sat on a side. When those bhikkhus were seated, the wandering ascetics of the other sects said to them, "Friends, the recluse Gautama teaches his disciples thus, come bhikkhu, thoroughly learn all things, and abide having learnt everything. Friends, we too teach our disciples. Thus come, friends, thoroughly learn all things, and abide having learnt everything. Friends, so then what is the difference between us in the intention, in advising, and the advice given?" Those bhikkhus, neither delighted with the words of the wandering ascetics of other sects, no score in them, got up from their seats and went away thinking, "We will know the meaning of these words in the presence of the Blessed One." Then those bhikkhus, going their arms round in the Savatthi, returning from the arms round, and after the meal was approached the Blessed One, worshipped, sat on a site and said, "Venerable Sir, we put on robes in the morning, take a bowl's robe, entered Savatthi for alms. Then it occurred to us, it is too early yet to go for alms in Savatthi. What if we approach the monastery of the wandering ascetics of those monks?" Actually repeated what happened over there in that with those other. So, this is the reply to the ascetics of other sects, who say these words, "Friends, what is the single question, the single statement, and the single explanation? What is two questions, two statements, two explanations? What is three questions, three statements, and three explanations? What is four questions, four statements, and four explanations? What is five questions, five statements, and five explanations? What is six questions, six statements, and six explanations? What is seven questions, seven statements, and seven explanations? What is eight questions, eight statements, and eight explanations? What is nine questions, nine statements, and nine explanations? What is 10 questions, 10 statements, and 10 explanations?" Because when explained, when questions thus, the ascetics of other sects find it impossible to reply and fall into trouble. What is the reason? Because it is beyond them. Because in this world, together with the gods, Maras, Brahmans, the community of recluse, such and Brahmins and gods and men, I do not see anyone who would convince by explaining these questions other than by the Buddha or a disciple of the Buddha or someone who heard it here. It was said single question, single statement, and single explanation. Why was it said so? Because in a single thought, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest, makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. So what is that one thought? All beings rely on food. Bhikkhu, on this single thought, the bhikkhu rightfully turns away, becomes disenchanted, release, sees the end, and realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. If it is what said, a single question, a single statement, and single explanation, it was said on account of this. So when you actually look at it, that at once you can see it's a very simple sort of a thing. But you see that it has got one thought, one question, one statement, uddesa, and one explanation. All beings rely on food. Food is actually this nutriment. Remember, we actually talked about the four kinds of nutrients before. So we are coming to that one later on. Now over here, what is this meaning of this one? Is actually, if we understand this, this has come to be. For example, this, you know, our body, us, you know, making, this has come to be. Depending on something, it come to arise. So it is actually, origination comes with nutriment. If someone understand, with the cessation of nutriment, comes the cessation of what has come to be. So that's the single question, single thing, and it is the how one would realize. So actually the dependent origination itself, so the ignorance, these volitional formations. So the whole thing is actually occurring from that one, because of this arises. So it is that deep in that, you know, those four edible foods, four nutrients we were talking about, is now actually talking about one, because of the nutrient, whatever the consciousness nutrient or the contact or the edible food, they are all nutrients. And so sabbe satta aharatiti, that is every being depending on this food arises upon that one. And it was said two questions, two statements and two explanations. Why was it said so? Bhikkhu, in two thoughts, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. What are two thoughts? That is name and matter, nama, rupa. So bhikkhu, in these two thoughts, the bhikkhu rightfully turns away, becomes disenchanted, and release, sees the end and realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. If it was said in two questions, two statements, two explanations, it was said on account of this. And actually, now this discourse has to be, this part of the discourse has to be seen in with another discourse over here. Probably we can go through that one and then come back to here and to this one. Otherwise, it's just questions. And so this discourse appear in connected discourses of the Buddha. It's called Son's Flesh. And so we were actually talking about name and nama rupa. So this one is really interesting. I have said this one before as well, certain occasions. At Savatthi Bhikkhu, there are these four kinds of nutriments for the maintenance of beings that have already come to be, and for the assistance of those about to come to be. But for the nutriment, edible food, gross or subtle. Second, contact. Third, mental volition. Fourth, consciousness. These are the four kinds of nutriment for the maintenance of beings that have already come to be, and for the assistance of those about to come to be. And how, Bhikkhu, should the nutriment edible food be seen? So in this discourse, Buddha is actually telling that suppose a couple, husband and wife, has taken limited provisions and were to traveling through a desert. So they run out of those food. And then they actually had to kill their only baby son and eat the food. So you can see that the body is the nutriment at that time. And then Buddha actually saying that while they were eating, they were actually beat their breast and cry, "Where are you, our only son? Where are you, our only son?" What do you think, Bhikkhu? Would they eat that food for amusement or enjoyment, or for the sake of physical beauty and attractiveness? No, Venerable Sir. Wouldn't they eat food only for the sake of crossing the desert? Yes, Venerable Sir. It is in such a way, Bhikkhu, that I say the nutriment edible food should be seen. When the nutriment edible food is fully understood, lust for the five courses of sensual pleasure is fully understood. When the lust for five courses of sensual pleasure is fully understood, there is no fetter bound by which noble disciple might come back again to this world. So he become a never returner if he understand that edible food itself. You see that in that particular example, Buddha is actually saying that you know, that when you look at someone, it is actually there is nutriment that we are actually looking at. And in the rare situation, you would eat that person, and but not for the enjoyment, it's just for the maintenance of the body crossing the desert. So Then Buddha actually saying how bhikkhu should the nutriment contact be seen. Suppose there is a flayed cow. If she stands exposed to a wall, the creatures dwelling in the wall would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to a tree, the creatures dwelling in the tree would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to the water, the creatures dwelling in the water would nibble at her. If she stands exposed to the open air, the creatures dwelling in the open air would nibble at her. Whatever the flayed cow stands exposed to, the creatures dwelling there would nibble at her. It is such a way, bhikkhu, that I say the nutriment contact should be seen. Because we have eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body and the mind. So we get some sort of a, you know, contact because of that one. So it's nibbling, like that cow, you know, the skin is gone, so everyone is eating like that. These are all open. And whole thing has to be, contact has to be understood as a, that sort of a troublesome thing. When the nutriment contact is fully understood, the three kind of feelings are fully understood. So it is actually coming to the next one over here. The three kind of feelings are fully understood. When the three kind of feeling are fully understood, I say there is nothing further a noble disciple needs to do. He become an arahant if he understand the feeling, three kind of feeling. And how bhikkhu should the nutriment mental volition be seen? Suppose there is a charcoal pit deeper than a man's height, filled with glowing coals without flame or smoke. A man would come along, wanting to live. He wants to live, not wanting to die. Desiring happiness and averse to suffering. Then two strong men would grab him by both arms and drag him towards the charcoal pit. The man's volition would be to get far away. So the volition, the nutriment volition, is actually to maintain him, keep him, you know. Going in samsara, his longing would be to get far away. He wish would be get far away from that charcoal pit. For what reason? Because he knows I will fall into this charcoal pit and on that account I will meet death or deadly suffering. It is in such a way, bhikkhu, that I say nutriment mental volition should be seen. When the nutriment volition is fully understood, the three kind of craving are fully understood. When the three kind of craving are fully understood, I say there is nothing further that noble disciple need to do. And how bhikkhu should the nutriment consciousness be seen? Suppose they were to arrest a bandit, a criminal, and bring him before the king, saying, "Sire, this man is a bandit, a criminal. Impose on him whatever punishment you wish." The king says to them, "Go, men, in the morning, strike this man with 100 spears. In the morning, they strike him with 100 spears. Then at the noon, king asks, "Men, how is that man? Still alive, sir?" Then go, and at the hour and the noon, strike him with 100 spears. At noon, they strike him with 100 spears. Then in the evening, the king asks, Men, how is that man? Still alive, sire. Then go, and in the evening, strike him with 100 spears. In the evening, they strike him with 100 spears. So he gets 300 for that day. What do you think, bhikkhu? Would that man being stuck by 300 spears experience pain and displeasure on that account? And boy, sir, even if he was stuck with 1 spear, he would experience pain and displeasure on that account, not to speak of 300 spears. It is in such a way, bhikkhu, that I say nutriment consciousness should be seen. With the nutriment,
the more you know about that, you know how even it, when you, if what happens with the eye contact, so later if you develop your
ears,
yeah, you see that, so it's not a...
Yeah. Because you understand that it is actually each time I see, I perceive, I see, it is suffering. Completely, you know, we are battered. Our consciousness is actually battering. You know, having seen something with the eye consciousness, and it's a trouble. Your consciousness is a trouble. And all the time, we are being stuck by these things.
But so, without the wisdom, you
wouldn't... Yeah.
Kasapahara,
because of his karma. Why we were born? We were born because of our karma. So he did something wrong. That's why he was, you know, captured by those people, right? So it is his volition, his former volition. Now this body is our former karma. So now the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, those things comes because of our former karma that we were born. So the punishment is our former karma.
I thought because it's the Then why do you say that in that it says that when you they're fasting again, lie, and then the people say, not the Buddha, king asks, and then these people say then what is that say?
One spear.
He wouldn't want even one.
No, no, he would have a pain even if he had one.
Yeah, he would have a pain even with the one. Yeah. Isn't it because of the... I thought it was the prajna he was talking about.
No. It is actually the person with prajna, having seen this danger, he would get out of this situation. He will not actually do any karma for the future becoming. Because he is now, he understands, I am suffering here now because of my former karma. And then having understood the scenario, he would actually strive to get out of this thing. So, this is our former karma. Why we get eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body? That's the former karma. And so the beautiful thing over here, now it is in such a way that I say Newtonian consciousness should be seen. When the Newtonian consciousness is fully understood, name and form is fully understood. Okay? When we understand that one, then we understand the name and form. So we understand that the volition and the form, that the whole thing is fully understood. When name and form is fully understood, I say there is nothing further that noble disciple needs to do. So you can see, now we are coming back to this one. So we were talking about the name and form. Name and form, if someone, what that is two thoughts. So the name and form, the two thoughts. So if someone understands this, so he understood the consciousness. He understood the need one element consciousness. And so he understand the volition.
Because we give the name and form because of the
current. Name, avidya paccha sankara, sankara paccha vinyana, vinyana paccha nama rupa. So that the condition is understood. So it was said the three questions, three statements and three explanations. Why was it said so? Bhikkhu in three thoughts. The bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. What are the three thoughts? That is in three feelings. See, bhikkhu on these three thoughts. So if someone understands this one, and look at that discourse over here. If someone understands the contact, then he understands the three kind of feeling. So, and so arising and passing away is seen. So then again it was said four questions, four statements and four explanations. Why was it said so? So Buddha explained it again, and then Buddha said in this particular case, that is the four kinds of support. Chatusu aharesu. Remember the nutriment that we discussed last time, and this discourse also. Remember the problem that we went through that last page, because of the four nutriments that you gain into these four agatis, going through in the four bad ways, and all the problems associated with it. This consciousness arise and hold into the matter, hold into feeling, or hold into the volition, or hold into the volitional formations. And the perceptions of volitional formation. So that that's the bigger one. So you can see it's a one statement, four statements over here. Four food. And but how big it is, we took about half an hour for us to explain that one. You know, going through that whole process. So one can actually explain this sort of thing. It was said five questions, five statements and five explanations. Why was it said so? Bhikkhu in five thoughts, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seen in the end, rightfully realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. What are those five thoughts? The five aggregates of clinging. So, if someone understands five aggregates of clinging, that is matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So, if someone understands that one, that means he understands the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, and then the satisfaction, danger and escape. So, regarding those five, one has to understand those five aspects of that one. So it's a really big thing its own. That is that if we see the origination of the form is that, you know, that that is the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, where that one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. By doing that one, delight in form arises. So delight in form is clinging. So this clinging as a condition, the existence. So existence as a condition, birth. So that's the arising part. And so the cessation path is one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain hold into it. So the delight in form does not arise. So with the cessation of delight comes the cessation of this clinging. The whole mass of suffering is gone. So one has to understand the whole thing. So this is said in very short, and there are about 48 Dhamma over here. Right? Each one of them are equivalent to the other in its meaning. So, and then it was said 6 questions, 6 statements and 6 explanations. Why was it said so? So, bhikkhu in 6 thoughts, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. Now, what are those 6 thoughts? The 6 internal mental spheres. That is this chatusu adjust kesu ayatana. So eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So remember that flared cow, you know that so because of those 6 we get the 6 contacts. So and kind of consciousness. And then it was said 7 questions, 7 statements and 7 explanations. Why was it said so? So in this particular case, the 7 stations of consciousness. So that's the satusu vijnana, vijnana titti. So that is 7 stations of consciousness. So what are those 7 stations of consciousness? If someone understands these 7 stations of consciousness, that means he understood. Remember that last discussion we had, we were talking about this depending on the 4 nutriments. We have 4, say consciousness hold form regarding this edible food. So consciousness actually remain hold into the form. So if you take the contact as the food, so then the vijnana sthiti, vijnana is actually now hold into the feeling. And then the third one is actually the volitional formations. So when the volitional formations is as the volition is the nutriment, then the consciousness is actually holding to the perception. So it's actually holding over there. And then the consciousness is the nutriment, then the consciousness is actually now holding to the volitional formation, because volitional formations actually construct the consciousness. Sanskara vachya vijnana. So whatever thing it is constructing, it is holding to that one. So there are 4 stations in that case, right? Now those 4 stations, now you can say Buddha is actually now saying 7 stations of holding. So the first station is actually there are beings with diversity of body and diversity of perceptions, such as human beings, some deva and some beings in the lower realm. This is the first station of consciousness, that is us. We have the diversity of the body and diversity of perceptions. You know, we are diverse in body and perceptions both. And the second station of consciousness, well, this one is actually appearing in Nidana Sangyutta, Mahanidana Sutta in Digha Nikaya. There are beings with diversity of body and singularity of perceptions, such as devas of the Brahma host, generated by the first jhana. So if someone attained first jhana and be born in that Brahma realm, first jhana realm, then they have the diversity of body, but their perception is singular in the sense of that they are living with rapture, right? So the rapture is they are perceiving the rapture and living with the rapture.
How the
human beings are not that one. These human beings are the first one. Diversity in body, diversity in perception. We are diverse in every kind. And so the third one is there are beings with singularity of body and diversity of perception. Singularity of body, diversity of perception, such as the radiant deva, this is Abhasra deva, the second jhana realm. Because they have got rid of this initial application, sustained application, no longer required to maintain the rapture. So they are actually living with rapture, so their body is singular body. But their perceptions are diverse. So I can't explain how it is. So because they are actually pursuing pleasure as well, but they seem to have a different kind of pleasure. Maybe they are actually the method they attained. You know, the how you attain second jhana level by doing what? By loving kindness meditation or the other meditation. So somehow they attain that one, they maintain it. So maybe that's the case, and no explanation can be found on that. There are beings with singularity of body and singularity of perception. So they have single body, single perception. That is like such as the beautiful, lustrous devas. That is Deva Subhakina. That is the third jhana realm. So the devas in third jhana realm, Brahmas, they have actually a single body, single perception. This is the fourth station of consciousness. There are beings who with complete transcending of perception of physical form, with the disappearance of perception of resistance and not heeding perception of diversity, thinking infinite space. So they attain that space is infinite realm. So that is another station of consciousness. That is the fifth one. There are beings who with complete transcending of the sphere of the infinitude of space, thinking infinite consciousness, arrive at the sphere of infinitude of consciousness. This is the sixth station of consciousness. So consciousness now hold into that consciousness is infinite. There are beings who with complete transcending of the sphere of the infinitude of consciousness, thinking there is nothing, arrive at the sphere of nothing. This is the seventh station of consciousness, right? So there are these seven stations of consciousness. If someone understand that one, and so he actually understood Dhamma. So every one of them actually equivalent to the other ones in a sense. It was said 8 questions, 8 statements and 8 explanations. Why was it said so? Bhikkhu in 8 thoughts, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest makes an end of unpleasantness here and now. What are the 8 thoughts? The 8 worldly matters. That is this loka dhamma. You heard about that? No? It is that labo alabo, gain and loss. Aso yasocha, fame and shame. Yasocha asocha, fame and shame. Blame and praise, ninda prasansa. Happiness and misery. Now, when you look at that one, it's very simple, isn't it? But if you go into this book again, I go for another discourse, 682, in Connected Discourses of the Buddha. There is one chapter in Sanghutta Nikaya. It's called Labha Sakkara Sanghutta, the Connected Discourses on Gain and Honor. Right? There are 40 discourses given by Buddha. So, I will pick up one over here. It is called The Hook. At Savati, Bhikkhu, dreadful are gain, honor and praise. Dreadful are gain, honor and praise. Bitter, wild, obstructive to achieving the unsurpassed security from bondage. Suppose a fisherman would cast a baited hook into a deep lake, and a fish on the lookout for food would swallow it. That fish, having swallowed the fisherman's hook, would meet with calamity and disaster, and the fisherman could do with it as he wishes. Fisherman Bhikkhu, this is the destination for Mara, the evil one. Baited hook, this is the destination for gain, honor and praise. It is that bad. And Bhikkhu who relishes and enjoys the rise and gain, honor and praise, is called a Bhikkhu who has swallowed the baited hook, who has met with calamity and disaster, and the evil one can do with him as he wishes. So dreadful bhikkhu are gain, honor and praise, so bitter, while obstructive to achieving, unsurpassed security from bondage. Therefore bhikkhu, you should train yourself thus, We will abandon the rise and gain, honor and praise, and we will not let the rise and gain, honor and praise persist obsessing our mind. This should be our, thus should you train yourself. And actually Bhikkhu Bodhi is sort of giving a good introduction to this part as well, and with the, what Bhikkhu Bodhi is telling that bhikkhus are actually getting this, because the devotees want to get married, they come and offer all sort of thing. And then some get these, you know, they have got rid of, they are actually not thinking about sensual pleasures. Now they are getting this food, lodging and the clothes and everything for them, right? Some clinging to that one very heavily. And it is amazing if you actually give up certain things, and then whatever thing you are getting, you are clinging to that. Let's say you give up your biggest craving, whatever thing it is, then you can see the smaller ones that you were not giving that much thing before, and it's very big issue. You are actually holding to those things very heavily. For example, I am not taking sugar for tea, I gave up taking sugar. But I take one spoon in the morning for tea, right? And when I, if someone make that tea for me, even the one drop of sugar, you know, the bit of that one is missing, I can actually see it, taste it. It's so sensitive to that one, right? It's exactly one spoon, and one spoon got to be there. So we are actually going to that level. So you can see, I have seen this thing happening. So many of those things. You give, likewise, that monks have given up sensual pleasures and household life and sort of thing. They are clinging to these clothes, those things, very heavily. And then some people don't bother about that one, but they preach them, so people are coming, and so many people are coming. Fame is increasing, and my, you know, those things, phrases, now they are clinging to that one. They can't give up that. So that prasiddha, you know, monks, you know, the, who are actually, so it's a very big thing.
And because it made you happy, that's why.
Yeah, whatever they make you happy, you cling to that one.
That's why people like when somebody praise them. People like it because it makes you happy.
It is a big deal.
A person to person, one person, it will be jumping up and down. But other person like that, but it's a,
So I mean that depending on the quality of that person, but even that small thing can hold you.
Yeah, that's right.
Even that small thing can hold you, unless Buddha is actually preaching these things and one knows about these things, because we never know what we are holding to unless we do the meditation, and then unless you are affected by certain things and you are sensitive to that one and see, right? So why I am actually upset that people didn't ask questions or people didn't participate or that sort of thing. And if you think about those things, then only you can actually know that yes, there must be something in me that was holding. So or else you need to read these discourses to see how it is affected by you. It can be very, very small thing holding us time to time. Quite a lot of them inside, within us. And so you can see this Ashta Loka Dhamma is also a really big thing. And because we have heard it when we are small as well, so we don't actually think about it that much. But it's really a big thing. There were a number of discourses on that. It was said 9 questions, 9 statements and 9 explanations. Why was it said so? So these 9, one is actually 9 settlement of pains. So we were actually talking about 7 before, right? Before that one we were talking about that because of the edible food and nutriment, that there are 4 stations in that one. That 4 stations is actually becoming 7. And we are now saying 9. So 9 stage, settlements of beings is that those 7 we mentioned in the 7th case plus 2 spheres. So there are two spheres. What are those two spheres? Is that the sphere of non-percipient being? Non-percipient beings means that in the fourth jhana realm there are beings that they don't think. They are, the consciousness is suppressed. Their body exists. No thinking. So only body. And then the neither perception, no non-perception, they don't have a body, but they are not perceiving. So they are that formless and they are not perceiving. So they are not making any new volitions either.
They are not thinking.
They are not actually perceiving anything. So they are not making any volitions. They are living with the remainder of volitional formations.
Because if you don't think...
Yeah. So, these people are not doing it. Neither perception nor non-perception.
Oh.
So, they are not perceiving.
Yeah.
Okay. They are neither perception nor non-perception. And so, they are not constructing anything.
Yeah.
They are not destructing.
There is another group that are, who don't think.
Well, they have the body. Consciousness is suppressed in that
okay.
Way. Consciousness is suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So... both are in the sense that it's good to attain the neither perception nor non-perception. Those are not easy ones. But having attained, when he comes out of it, he should do the, Nibbana is, focus into Nibbana or something. And what Buddha is saying that all the beings, born on those realms, whatever the realm is, from this earth, human beings to divine beings, Brahma, all those things, except those Suddhavasa, pure abodes, most of them will be born after death in the hell, animal realm. Because you come out of that state, you have lived there for 84,000 eons. The highest settlement is that. And whatever the volitions you had before, they pop up. So the greediness, all those things can come up because they were suppressed for that many long time, and some will be born in the other worlds. They're dead. It's like
killing, dying or something like that.
No. It's like that. Let's say you're sleeping. You go to sleep. Okay. Let's say you have this neither perception, non-perception is something like that. You are actually sleeping, but you are aware. You are not perceiving anything either. It's a kind of a situation. And so, like that, let's say you sleep and you wake up in the morning, and when you wake up, you whatever the feeling you have, depending on that one, So, that is the ninth case. And then Bhikkhu in tenth odds, the bhikkhu rightfully turning away, rightfully disenchanted, rightfully released, rightfully seeing the end, rightfully realizing the highest, makes an end of unreasonness here and now. What are the 10 thoughts? The 10 ways of acting in demerit. Dasa akusa. So what are those 10 things? Taking life, taking what is not given, sexual misconduct, lying speech, slander, rude speech, idle chatter, greed, malevolence, and wrong view. So you can see.
I asked him, he has all of them. Any good people have all of them anyway, isn't it?
Some people, do have. Yeah, some people lie, harsh speech, frivolous talks, those things are there. Some people lie, kill, steal, sexual misconduct.
At least about 7 is there. With the
majority, the one is there. Yeah. Well, the other three, you see that for those people who are actually having these 7 that you mentioned, they are also having other ones as well. So the people who are actually preventing taking life, taking what is not given, and the sexual misconduct, those things, that those ones are purified by the virtue. But still they can have this the greed. Read this abhijjaluhoti. That means that seen something, then he thinks, let this be mine. Seen a Benz car, that person, let this be mine, sort of thing. And malevolence, anger. And then the wrong view is that the, you know, I am sort of thing. And this is actually whatever thing someone, if someone does not know the Four Noble Truth, so that wrong view can come to play. And so wrong view is actually twofold, in the sense that we have one day mundane, the right view is twofold, and we have the opposite, that is this wrong view. So Buddha said that wrong view is this nothing given, so there's no point in giving anyone, no result, no point in treating father, mother, and no result of these actions. There's no other worlds, there's no this world, that sort of thing. So that's the wrong view. So opposed to that one, we have the right view. There's one mundane right view, that is that whatever thing we just described, that there is a result of giving, result of offering, and there is the result of treating father, mother, there is this world, there is the other world, that sort of thing. And then there is this Aryan right view, that is this wisdom. Wisdom in is actually prajna, wisdom. Wisdom in the Aryan thought, or one who is following the Aryan Eightfold Path. So that is the Aryan wisdom. So that is by understanding the Four Noble Truth itself. So that this birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, and then the course leading to the suffering, and the cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So that right view is actually going far further. So you can say it's a very short discourse over here, in that sense, you know, one questions, you know, two questions, three questions. But look at this thing, actually it says this, when one says, what is that one thought, all beings rely on food, then that one is actually the question and the statement, and the whole thing is over there, you know. And and I counted the number of Dhamma stated.
How do you take that example as the one thought?
So by getting the Dukkha Satya alone, you don't actually see the other things, Four Noble Truths. But over here, seeing this one, you see the whole thing. Complete Paticchasamuppada, Dukkha Satya, everything is included in that one. Because that everything arising, depending on the, you know, the other condition. So conditionally arising, this one. When the condition ceases, this ceases. So it is that deep in that sense. And there was a discourse, I didn't go through that one. This one was actually Venerable's. Buddha asked the Venerable Sariputta a question about a certain gatha, and Venerable Sariputta was silent. You see, so I will just, since we have a bit of time, we can actually say. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi. There the Blessed One addressed the Venerable Sariputta, the Sariputta, in the questions of Ajita, of the Parayana, it is said, those who have comprehended the Dhamma and the manifold trainees here ask about their way of conduct, being discreet, tell me, dear sir. It's very hard to understand what it means. So Buddha asked this question from Venerable Sariputta, and Venerable Sariputta was silent. Second time also Buddha asked the question, and Venerable Sariputta was again silent. And then Buddha said, third time Buddha said, Sariputta, do you see this has come to be? That's what Buddha said. Sariputta, do you see that this has come to be? Venerable sir, one sees as it really is with correct wisdom, this has come to be. Having seen as it really is with correct wisdom, this has come to be. One is practicing for the purpose of revulsion towards the what has come to be. So whatever thing that creates me, you know, arise me. So he actually... practicing for the revulsion for that one. One sees as it really is correct wisdom, its origin, nation, occurs with as nutriment. Okay, so that's the one we were talking about. Having seen as it really is with correct wisdom, its origination occurs with that as nutriment. One is practicing for the purpose of revulsion towards its origination through nutriment. So he's now getting rid of, trying to get rid of the nutriment that is actually making me. So it's fading away and cessation. One sees as it really is with correct wisdom, with the cessation of that nutriment, what has come to be is subject to cessation. Having seen as it really is with correct wisdom, with the cessation of the nutriment that has come to be is subject to cessation. So whatever thing it constructs also ceases. When the nutriment ceases, this one also ceases. So he is practicing for the purpose of revulsion towards the, what is subject to cessation, fading away. So that's the meaning of that gatha. Okay, so that is actually the first one over here. So, and Venerable Sariputta is actually explaining further how Venerable Sir has one comprehend the Dhamma. Venerable Sir, one sees as it really is the correct wisdom, this has come to be. That rises from this. Having seen as it really is correct wisdom, this has come to be through revulsion towards what has come to be, through its fading away and cessation, one is liberated by non-clinging. One sees that really with correct wisdom, its origination occurs with that as nutriment. Having seen as it really is with correct wisdom, this origination occurs with that as nutriment. Through revulsion towards its origination, through nutriment, through its fading away and cessation, one is liberated by Nayambhani. So Sariputta is explaining this one, and then Buddha actually phrased good Sariputta. So Buddha had to help Venerable Sariputta giving that line, do you see this has come to be? And otherwise that says, this one is actually called what has come to be. Kalara kattiya vagga in nidana sang, nidana vagga, kalara kattiya vagga, what has come to be. That's the discourse. And so it is this sort of discourses that in that book, you know, the Petakopadesa and Nettipakkarma all take one of this sort of a gatha and explain it and in a greater detail. And when I'm actually reading these courses at the first time, most of the time I actually have skipped this sort of gatha type thing. Now I can read and sort of understand. Earlier, you doesn't make any, you know, even the Venerable Sariputta could not explain it at first. And so if you are reading these courses for the first time, you can actually skip this sort of thing, but go into the sutta that actually explain things. And later on, you can come back. But it is entirely your taste how to read these things.